Steve woke up this morning cause he didn't go to bed. The echoes of Steve and Jay in your head. The calendar on your wall is ticking the days off until opening day comes again. You smile and think how much you've changed. All the tackle that I own is ready now, so let's go. Clear off the snow and the sun.
All right, folks, welcome to the Muskie 360 podcast, a Jaybird.
Steve, what's happening?
I am on the road, folks. If you can't tell, it sounds different. Had some business to take care of in the wild world of muskie fishing here. So I am right now. I am in the Holiday Inn Studios, Jay. So,
no place better to be, Steve.
No, it's great. They got a lovely intercontinental breakfast.
They got one of them hot tubs.
I feel like a peasant. If I don't have my hot tub, I get hangry and mad, and here I am. I got nothing, and here we are. So we're going to have a quick one this week, guys. I apologize. I had a trip pop up out of nowhere where I had to travel, so here we are. But nonetheless, Jay, I did want to bring up something because a lot of people have been talking about the big corporate thing, right? And I wanted to give my feelings on this. So, you know, if you don't know, there was a large, how would I put it, merger, acquisition, whatever you want to say, of Muskie Innovations, Muskie Mayhem, and Chaos Tackle that all, you know, all came together and now is under one ownership. And I know that's made the rounds, but I at least wanted to throw out there, and I'll get your take on it, Joe. We haven't talked about it too terribly much of, like, you know, I've had people reach out to me. They're kind of freaking out about, you know, oh, what about the freaking out about stuff. And I always find it funny. It's like, you know, at the onset of this, the angler is not impacted, right? That's the biggest thing I think people need to keep in mind is, you know, how someone conducts business, that how does that affect you in the boat? It's not. You know, I hate conversations. It drives me nuts. I'll see people talking and posting about the industry, right? And I'm sitting here going, the people that are doing it are generally so far removed from the actual fiscal end of muskie fishing that it's laughable, right? And I don't know the parties that took this over. I don't know the parties that are, you know, what they're doing. We're all, you know, everybody's kind of aware of it. Man, give the guys some rope here. You know, let them do their thing. And I hate it because I always see it's such a musky thing for people to have a knee-jerk reaction or pass judgment. And I think that's such a shit move, which is just like, you don't know. And that's one of my favorite things in kind of life. I've got to the point in life where I just go, oh, we'll see. Right. You know, and that's, is this good? Is this bad? And I don't mean this merger, but I mean, that's how I kind of roll anymore. You don't know if it's good or if it's bad, but it's, we'll see, you know? And so I think,
yeah, this is not the first time this has happened.
No,
in particular, Chaos Tackle has changed hands more than once, actually three times that I can think of.
Right.
And, everybody that did a great job.
Yeah.
So, no harm, no foul.
No.
Yeah, like you said, give the guy some slack. This is just right now, all they're doing is moving the production facility and all three involved. We've spoken with the owners, the people that run all three companies, and they're grateful for us. They're moving on. They got some price. They're able to retire. And are staying on to, you know, the day-to-day until this thing is running smooth.
It just drives me nuts. Like I said, it's not much, but I mean, it's just one of these elements where I look and I go, well, I don't really care who owns McDonald's, right? I don't care. What does it matter? Who's the general manager of your local Walmart? Do you know him by name? Who gives a shit?
One guy commented, I got a kick out of, you know, not knocking anybody, but someone said, I've seen this happen in the bass industry and it ruined it. It's like, really?
Did it? I don't know.
That's all.
I know some dudes in the bass industry that freaking, it is what it is. And I mean, now I'll say this, it's a different animal now, Right. It's a different animal. And it's, I think it's important that, that you just sit back and chill. But, you know, you just look at fishing. I mean, and this, I'm going down a different kind of lane or rabbit hole, I guess, here. But, you know, knowing the bass guys, I know them, you know, or know, I mean, I've been to so many freaking trade shows where I'm sitting there like, a guy that let me take even another aside. There's the guy that runs Pradco, right? You know, Pradco, Jay, what is that? Hedden, freaking, how many brands do they have? Zoom.
You got a lot of brands, a lot.
Yep. And as an aside, the guy that runs Pradco is like one of those people that I can't even remember his name right now, but we see each other all the time. And I'll see this guy in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and then I'll see him in Bulgaria. Right. It's this random, like, what the hell are you doing here? Uh-huh. Like,
sure.
But, you know, on the bass side of things, it's not ruining the bass world. The bass world is absolutely, you know, on fire. But, yeah, that's the thing. People always are afraid of change. And I just go, well, let's see. You know, I think that's the best thing in all facets of life of just, well, we'll see. Is it good? Is it bad? But The only effect that it can have is you can't get what you want. And I think that's the knee jerk of why people are like, oh, you know, which
I think so too.
That's every
line with most people that are commenting.
Everything people do is self-serving. I mean, that's just kind of the very nature of a human being. If you go, well, how does this affect me? But if it doesn't affect you, then don't worry about it. You know, that's probably the smartest thing one can do. But I know right now, you know, because I've had people ask, Muskie Shop is stocked up like crazy. We've got, you know, every iteration of stuff.
Yeah, you know? I've placed orders recently. This is after the merger, just because I order from them all the time, all three companies.
Yeah.
And I've been ordering from all three companies for a long time.
Gotten
stuff in, yeah. And we've got more stuff coming in. They've got stuff on hand. They're getting more made. So it's looking good.
Good on them. Yeah. Don't worry about it. I mean, if it's one of those things, people, if you're just an angler and it's not your income, don't worry about it. It'll be fine. It'll work out. So, you know, it's funny though. You say, you know, about that and just an aside, something we don't talk about too much about pricing, you know, looking at the economics of things, since we're kind of on that tip for what it's worth, is something Livingston has just done. And Jay, you did update it on there. So Livingston went the other way on some stuff. And we had a long discussion, the owner, myself, about that, where, you know, you hear about all these tariffs and hear about all the manufacturing stuff. We were able to get pricing back to normal on a bunch of stuff. So if you see like your Squeaky Pete's, your Jerk Masters, your Flippers, you see all these baits. I think a lot of, it's crazy, there's a lot of $19.99 baits now, right? Which is,
there's more than 10 of them, and some of them are $10
off. Which is, you look at that price and you go, you know, and it's, I hate industry talk, you know, as far as forward facing here where we're actually discussing it. But a lot of that for us, if you went down the Livingston front, and obviously a big part of that team there was, oh my goodness, we have an opportunity to actually do the reverse. We can actually, you know, instead of sticking with that price and going, well, they've been paying it, screw them, right? They've actually been able to.
I hate that.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that's when.
I hate that.
That's freaking inflation for you. That's what happens. You know what I'm saying? You get accustomed to a new price and it stays that price. And then you go, yeah, back to McDonald's. A Big Mac costs $13. You know, that's how life rolls. So, you know, just of note there. So you'll see this on the website that there's actually a price reduction, believe it or not. We did it on Titan, which was cool. And then when we're able to get these things in stock, instead of sticking with the old price with different tariffs and the way we kind of, or Livingston handles their imports and their business and taxes and all this stuff, they actually said, you know what, let's give people a crack at them here and actually get the prices down, which was kind of cool. Rare, but cool. So, yeah. Other than that, Jay sold too. Jay actually.
I was recently purchased.
He was recently purchased.
Silent party. He wants to remain nameless.
But he's a mime. It's not that he doesn't want his name out there. The guy's a mime that purchased you. Yep. That's the silent party. He just
how did you hear about this? I thought it was a secret.
I didn't hear about it. I saw him acting out in pantomime.
Yeah,
sorry. We're done, folks. That's the last mime joke you'll ever get on the podcast.
That's the last joke you'll ever hear.
Yeah. Silent party. So, good God. But yeah, I like it. I like when things change. And usually change ushers in innovation, which is cool. You know, so if you're feeling on the fence or you're worried about stuff and industry, I could do a soapbox rant on the people I've seen discussing the industry that the only contribution they have to the industry is spending money and bitching about it. But this is going to be good. I really think it will be long run. All the change you see, you know, you like Booker talked to him the other day. They're doing some stuff different. I think the new angle with Booker is, you know, small batch, get their stuff right, and almost artesian, Jay. It's like a fine cheese, artesian, right?
Sure it is. Yeah.
So it's good.
Well, hopefully this opens the door for some more R&D and some more innovation in terms of it coming from a different direction. So
yeah, I think
give it a little time. Give it a little time.
Yeah, it's all good. Other than that, you know. What do you know, Jay? Do we have any comings and goings here?
We got that new Spanky Violence coming in, which I don't know if you've seen that.
Just,
I have not.
Just violence. Yeah. It's
a new topwater. Yeah. Not enough new topwaters coming out anymore. So that's cool. We're going to get that in this month before anybody. And yeah, looking good. So
okay. So it's kind of like
the end of February.
Okay. So it's like a globe-ish pull behind he skirted. Yeah, that's cool. I'm looking at here on my phone, seeing what's going on here. Bondi braid.
Yes, John Bondi, the man, has his own braid. You see his face on the cover, too?
That's a cool package. So.
Yeah, it is a cool package.
It doesn't look... Now, with that being said, the package doesn't have shit to do with braided line, but that's a good package. It's just, like, weird. It could be an album cover kind of weird shot, so I appreciate
it. Yeah, it kind of is, yeah.
Yeah, right. It's just like, okay, didn't know that, but I like it. I dig it. So I'm sure that's a mighty fine braid. Have you checked it out at all, Jay?
We just got it in Friday, I think. So
yeah, good deal.
It's low-vis green, 80-pound, and it's just what everyone wants.
There you go. So that's cool. Good on him. Other than that, you know, there you have it. So thanks, good night. No. it is what it is, Jay. I mean, what kind of other stuff or I think we've kind of got our finger on the pulse. There's a couple other, I think people will be shocked, or some other shakeups that'll happen before the year's out, but you know, any
there's one other new one you don't know about. We got a new swim bait in today. I do not have it on the website because it's a long story, but we only got about half the colors so far, and the other half are coming in a week or so.
Is it?
And I don't want to put it on there with only four colors.
Is it so Savage?
Nope. It's a Canadian type.
Ooh, Canadian.
Coming all the way from Canada. So
all the way.
Yeah, really good. Really good. It's not an inexpensive one. Let's put it that way.
Is it Rover?
Is it what?
Is it the Rover?
Nope.
We're playing guessing. I'm gonna guess what it is.
I want to keep it a surprise until we launch it on there. It's got it's pretty established in Canada, and it's got its fan base. So
Shadzilla.
Warhammer.
Warhammer, nice. That's a cool bag. Yeah.
So we got the first ones in today. They look really cool.
Yeah, that'll be neat. So
another week or so, we'll get them on the site and put them up for sale.
Well, I mean we're just riffing here. It's kind of an oddball kind of show here, but it's funny when you say that. I get pretty dang excited about some of the Canadian baits. It's always nice to see that coming in. I'm a big fan love that drop time tackle stuff. I think that's all superbly well executed.
Yep. Cool people, cool stuff. Yep.
That really was kinda, that was kind of one of those cool things. Last year I was up in Canada, ran into Thatcher, hung out with him, and then boom, got her in the shop. And I mean, great stuff. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, other than that, Jay, that's about all I got. So, other than freezing to death, you know.
How warm was it today fishing?
30s. Just nasty. Ooh. I think we're going to get out of it here finally. That has been, if you've been in the South, I mean, Saturday was not doable. It's like high of 20, you know, just absolute stuck in the single digits, and your big warm up is to 20 degrees, and you're going, what's 20? Everything's already frozen, you know, and you're not getting any reprieve. I actually, you know, it's been a cluster for me this week. Jay knows we were going to do the podcast yesterday, and I go out and I woke up and I went, oh crap, my boat is full of snow. Right.
Unforecasted, by the way.
Yeah. Wrong. Mm-hmm. Thanks, weather dudes. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, that was kind of there. So
I just got a picture from my buddy Chad a few hours ago. He's on the road and he's down in Mississippi, and he took a picture, and it's just like everything's snow covered.
Mm-hmm.
I think he wanted to go. I think he was going to try to get out and do some bass fishing with this stuff today. But it's like, it's affecting everybody.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. All your northerners say, cry me a river, and you go, well, our problem is this happens like once a decade, so we're not ready for it ever. You know, it's just like, is what it is. So anyway, let's hit a couple Q&A here, boys. Mm-hmm. We will get all over it. All right. Robert says, I'm looking to dial in on tannic water in the Northwoods of Wisconsin this next coming muskie season. What are your tips for tannic water? I've never fished anything other than clear bodies of water. Well, if you don't know, Jay, tell the kids listening at home what are tannins and how that water gets its color.
I don't know what tannins are.
I thought my bad.
But, you know, I know how it affects the water. And, you know, you could actually have fairly clear water, but if it's real tannic with that, what is it, pine tree runoff?
Well, it comes through, it's permeating from pine, and it's permeating through the soil, and it's permeating into the water column, right?
Sure.
And that contributes to that color, or creates that color. And you have tannic water, if you've never seen it or never fished on it. It's interesting because, like, if you took a glass and you scoop it into the glass, you can see through it, but it's a dark water, right? It's like a rich mahogany. It's a whole other ball game. But muskies are adapted to operating in those systems, right? You got to realize something that's the overarching point to always be made when we're discussing muskies. They only know the body of water that they're in, right? They only know that. A muskie here in Tennessee doesn't know Lake St. Clair exists and's never heard of Eagle Lake, right? So if they're in that body of water, they're highly adapted for that, right? And so in tannic water, those fish, in my opinion, are more likely to engage and more likely to follow regardless of conditions, and generally a shallower application. I mean, there's a few bodies of water, you know, I'm sure you're thinking of them. I mean, if I'm thinking Wisconsin, or I'm thinking, you know, around Park Falls or all these different bodies of water in Wisconsin that are super known for tannic water, cold front, they're still moderately shallow. All these different conditions, high bright sun, they don't back down as far. Those bodies of water warm up quicker, right? So early season stuff in Wisconsin, right? You can get on tannic water that is far warmer than, say, a clear lake because
far further ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. What else, Jay? What are your big?
Well, that's just the light penetration thing too, and it's just like vegetation only grows to a certain depth. You might have a lake, if that was clear water, that particular tannic lake, you know, you know, weeds would grow down to 10 feet. Not the case. They only grow to 4, 4.5 on some of those really dark lakes,
right,
that have almost a blackish kind of tint to them. Sometimes, you know, water visibility is less than a foot.
Yeah.
I mean, real, real low visibility. So yeah, they respond to, proximity really well. Obviously, that's something to key in on. you know, sounds more important to them than actually visually identifying prey and baits. So yeah. I mean, if weeds grow to 4 or 5 feet tops, it's a no-brainer that in and around those weeds, you know, if it's a good area, you're going to score better. So, like you said, kind of a not necessarily cold front, but adaptability for these fish is, it's just going to be easier to target them on a day-to-day basis in terms of how active they are and approachable they are. You know what I mean?
I think where people struggle on tannic water, though, I think the struggle in tannic water is often the lack of vegetation, right? So, especially we're talking peak summer, okay? Everybody kind of is whacking the weed beds. We all know that old trope, right? They huck and chuck and blah, blah, blah. Well, if you have limited weed, because light penetration, things aren't photosynthesizing, weeds are not growing at the same rate and the same depths, like Jay said, you need to become far more reliant on structure, right? Because cover is not positive. So weed without structure is not going to hold muskies, right? Fish in tannic water are far more acclimated to structure, right? They're far more dialed in on that opposed to some of these clear bodies of water where you have like the endless weed line, right? Yeah, they'll come and go that. But in a tannic body of water, you're often going to be finding the majority of your fish on places that will be completely devoid of cover, but it's structurally oriented. So if you're not a structure fisherman, tannic water can be problematic because you're beating the edges looking for weeds, right? And it's one of these things of, well, their environment is dark. It's always dark. It is what it is, right? Prey, predators can't see one another as well, so they need to ambush in other ways. What I've seen, especially with live scope, is the amount of fish in tannic water that rocket ship up, right? So you have maybe a bait that is, maybe you're throwing double tens or something like that, that's a ton of vibration, and you might think that fish was superb behind the water column, but that vibration, they seem to react regardless of kind of how they're at. It seems as if those fish are more willing to react, right? Where they're going to check things out. There was a vibration. There was something in my proximity. I need to look, right? I need to engage with that to kind of not let opportunity pass me by, if you will.
Yeah, I think that's one reason why a lot of bucktails and a lot of loud crankbaits are so successful in that kind of situation. Yeah.
Well, and that's the other thing, the tannic water too, man, is top water terror fiesta a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. That's one thing of like, I just think when it comes to like tannic water, when I'm going like bait selection, I am thinking sound quite a bit, right? Now, is it like Livingston's EBS sound, or are we talking like fat bastard plop sound? A little bit of that, right? I've always done really well on loud crankbaits that have rattles or clanking, right? Now, with that being said, in tannic water, I generally don't fish too terribly fast because from a saturation standpoint, I want that sound and vibration to be able to permeate the water column. I want the fish to be able to lock into it, right? I'm engaging a heck of a lot of fish in tannic water by slowing things down. So they go, ooh, the signal, whatever your sound and vibration is, a high enough amplitude. It's enough signal that they're interested, right? And so I don't power fish those situations, even in peak conditions. I think a lot of guys, Jay, tannic water, people get kind of into a burn situation because fish are there's a lot of fish that'll be shallower or more react. I don't say a reaction strike, but they're pretty dang aggressive. But I still slow it down because you can get those fish up and moving, I think, far easier than a clear water fish, right? Which is just kind of the take. I mean, I'm trying to think of other things that I've done really well there, which is like tannic water. Dive and rise seems to work ridiculously well in tannic water. Tail prop baits, And then, like you said, Jay, with your crankbaits, you know, Slammer Fatty Minnow, if I could get my hands on them, like the Storm Flat Stick. I wish somebody still made that freaking bait, Jay, by the way.
I found two of them, by the way.
Did you? Good.
I'll save them for you.
Hold on to it. Yeah, they were $14. They were amazing. So
Well, they're $60 now.
I ain't that the truth. Everybody and their brother went to jail. Everybody and their brother is freaking gouging, you know. That's
No, yeah.
I've seen them on the eBay. But anyway, you know what? I'm sitting here and I apologize, guys. I actually have a dinner meeting I have to go to here. So let's hit one more after my tannic water freaking spiel there. Eric, I am trying to figure out the best approach to get my wife to go musky fishing with me. She likes to bass fish, but she's afraid of musky fish. Well, that one, let's save that one for next week. That's a unpacking, right? That's a we'll get.
Audiobooks on your dash.
Yeah, that's a whole.
There you go. Have that as a backup.
Boys, that's oh, I was laughing there, and
Chicks dig audiobooks.
yeah, she especially if you can find some in the Star Wars vein. I can
Well, of
make
course.
a tremendous amount of recommendations on to that front.
Okay.
Hold on, let me see here. Jude, okay, this is a kid. We'll do this one. What do you prefer, pike, muskie, or tigers? What's the difference? So, quick, I'm a muskie angler. You can tell it's a kid's question, can't you, Jay? But nonetheless, you know, prefer, I like all of them when they're eaten. Hold on, Ben. Here's fine. Okay, we got one to roll with, Jasifer. Ben wants to know, when should one make the switch from a chatterbait to a bucktail? Interesting. You got my attention. Chatterbait to bucktail. Because if you think about it, vibration, same deal. So talk about baits that run in a similar world, right? They run in a similar realm in the water, which is a generally, you know, throw it out, turn the handle kind of deal. When I'm throwing like the kamikaze, what I'm looking at out of the kamikaze is its ability to trigger on the fall, and you can do a lot more with that bait as far as ripping it. You can pause it. And like if you're reeling in a bucktail and you pause it, you're not going to get many eats, right? Rule number one with a bucktail, Jay, is what?
Keep them blades a spinning.
Right. A chatterbait can be manipulated and worked in so many different ways where a muskie will stay with it. So given my druthers, it's like, okay, I've got to pick. Am I going to throw blades or am I going to throw a chatterbait? For me, it's always going to be a chatterbait just because I can do more, right? But why would one pick one? And so, yeah, just because you can do more with it doesn't mean much. But for me, chatterbaits are a great tool for people that are fishing pressured water, right? If you're on a private freaking lake or you're on a lake that never sees any freaking pressure, throw bucktails, right? The whole point of like bucktails work like a son of a gun, like we've always said. But a lot of it is, you know, when you try to stay away from bucktails because, you know, that's what everybody else is doing. But if you're on water that is pressured, a chatterbait can be absolutely just killer because it's something not many people are throwing, right? Not a lot of people have faith in them. Not a lot of people spend time with them, right? What you're
Be a
able to,
cool tannic water choice too.
I never thought about that, but yeah. I
Yeah.
mean, you talk about, I mean, the thing with like the kamikaze, there's not many chatterbaits left. You got what? Violent Strike and you got the kamikaze that I'm aware of. That's kind of your choices. And, you know, for me with that, I'm going for follow up. Now, I've done really well with a chatterbait as a follow up bait, right? So have that kind of laying around for your cast back or coming back on a fish. Maybe you did move it on blades or you moved it, you know, say a shallow invader or shallow raider or blade, something in that water column area, that vertical slice of the pie. That's a solid follow up because if you can throw it out, just get things moving and, you know, rip and let it fall. You can get some eats there. I mean, that would be the real decision maker between a bucktail and a chatterbait for me, is that versatility. Like I said, applicationally, I'm thinking pressure water. I'm thinking maybe a fish that came in on blades but didn't eat is a strong option. What do you think, Jay? You've thrown them.
I don't throw them a lot, but yeah, I agree totally. And, you know, it's a high vibration thing. It's putting out a completely different noise.
Yeah, I mean, it's a
noise than your average bucktail. So yeah, a good alternative.
Yeah, it's not, it's a different, and it's one of those things we don't know enough. I mean, I try to be measured sometimes, but one would like to say this is why that vibration works, and this, you know, the chatterbait attracts them because X, Y, and Z, and the bucktails attracts them because X, Y, and Z, which is no one really knows, right? But just consider, like I said, that chatterbait can be intermittent and get fish going. But anyway, guys, I apologize. We had this trip pop up on me this week. Jay Bird, we will hit them hard. We only did 30 here, but we'll hit them hard next week. So say good afternoon, Jay.
All right. Sounds good. Good talking with you.
Appreciate you guys. Later.
Bye-bye.
Echoes of Stephen J in your head. The calendar on your wall is ticking. The days off until opening day comes again. You smile and think how much you change. All the tackle that I own is ready now, so let's go. You clear off the snow and the sun burns into your eyes. See the muskies biting, and now you realize
this is the day your life will surely change. This is the day.